going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome into WEEI Afternoons, live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, just outside across the street from Lambeau Field at Buffalo Wild Wings. Andy Hart here alongside Ted Johnson, getting ready for the draft that we've been talking about for weeks and
forever.
So annoyed was Ted Johnson about the NFL draft that he swore. He used body language
in
our promo
video. It felt good, too. But it did feel good to cut that promo and just drop a big F-bomb.
Well, because finally we're going to find out if Will Campbell is the guy. Is Will Campbell not the guy? Now we're hearing late rumors about trades maybe ahead of the Patriots that could change the entire landscape in front of them. I go back to a couple of weeks ago where Mike Vrabel said, tell me who's going 1, 2, 3. I'll tell you who's going 4. Well, who's going 1, 2, and 3 might be changing if some of these late rumors have any validity. But the Red Sox lose to the Mariners 4-3, Fenway Park. And that was the call of the game brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you. And Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. Same old story with a new twist. And the new twist being a sad twist or a unpredictable twist that Garrett Crochet did not have his best stuff, had 5 walks through a career-high 110 pitches, gave up 4 runs, and the Red Sox couldn't help him out. Because you look at, I mean, you give up 4 runs, you can still win a baseball game. But the Red Sox continue to be so inconsistent offensively. Got a couple solo home runs today. You heard the Bregman solo home run. Narvaez hit a solo home run. But they're just not getting a lot of guys on base. Another double-digit strikeout game, which continues to be. And I know it's baseball. The Mariners struck out a lot, too. The one good thing that Crochet did was strike out 9 guys in his time out there. But the Red Sox lose 2 out of 3 to the Mariners. They lose the series. I think they're now 4-4, Dan Bregman's stats in the rundown in series this year. 2-2 at series at Fenway Park.
Yeah, game over 500.
Game over 500. And again, it's early, and it's the AL East, which looks like it's going to be a while before anybody really settles in, runs away with it, if anybody runs away with it at all. But for me, the two takeaways are the continued inconsistencies, or for some people, consistencies, where guys like Casas continue to struggle. Today it was Devers, Abreu, Story, and Tristan Casas go a combined 0-for-14 with a walk and 5 strikeouts.
Brutal.
That's not good.
Yeah, brutal. You wish the bats would just get, you know, could they get hot for just a few games? Or I mean, they're so up and down, mostly down with the bats. I mean, honestly, the bats and the hitting has been a huge disappointment for this team, really all season long. You know, for the Mariners, I mean, the Mariners are a good team, but please, I mean, the Red Sox going into this series were one of the better teams, you know, in the American League. And so very disappointing, especially with Crochet on the mound. I mean, He still has nine strikeouts, but you could just tell he wasn't quite comfortable. He wasn't hitting his spots like he normally does. Didn't have the command like he typically does. So he bleeds. He's human after all. And so unfortunately, the bats couldn't lift him up and pick him up and have his back today at Fenway.
I'll be interested to hear some of his comments post game because been hard on himself when he had better stuff. When he had better outings and he has an outing like this, he knows he's supposed to be the ace. He knows he is the guy they count on. So to have that kind of a performance today, a getaway day, a afternoon affair, nice weather at Fenway Park, that was an opportunity to him to kind of continue to build his legacy or legend or whatever you want to call it in Boston, and didn't have a great outing, but I'll go back to the offense. You got to get people on base. You can't keep they don't hit a lot of home runs, and you can't have all your home runs be solo home runs. St. Bregman can't do it himself. He needs some guys on base if he's going to be hitting home runs because he continues to be a pretty productive, consistent, positive factor in the lineup. But this is a lineup that's supposed to be much better than it is. And as I said, when you have Devers, Abreu, Story, and Casas going 0-14, you're probably going to struggle to win many baseball games. So as I said, we are just across the street from Lambeau Field. It is draft evening and night here in Wisconsin.
Fun, though. Fun day.
It is a fun day.
A lot of fun fans we've met already today. Fans from all over the country.
Saw a Bledsoe, a classic 90s Bledsoe jersey.
It was awesome. Just that 11, that jersey, just pow, there he is. I'm like, bro, that's an awesome favorite quarterback, underrated.
Yep.
Biggest Bledsoe fan. So you got fans from every team here, which is unique, right? You're not used to going to an NFL event where you have literally fans from all 32 teams represented.
Yeah, no, this is a cool event. This is we've seen, and as I said yesterday, it stretches 30-plus minutes away to all the little hotels. Yeah. We were leaving our hotel. The lobby was filled with fans waiting for a bus. They all had different jerseys on. They were pre-gaming.
Yeah.
So we saw that the stage area is beginning to fill up inside, that massive parking lot area that's going to have 100-plus thousand people there. Tonight, as we hear, Cam Ward, I think, is still a lock to go one.
Feels
and
like
then
it.
The rest.
It feels like two is still going to be a lock. It's
we'll
just
see.
What team is going to be picking Travis Hunter to? That's the curious part.
We've gotten the last of all the mock drafts today, which seemed to be chalk, seemed to be pretty consistent. Yeah. But one trade at a place like two can change everything. So WEEI Afternoons live at the NFL Draft. Reminder, our draft coverage is brought to you by McFarland Energy, Northeast Men's Health, Lucky Energy, Chock Full of Nuts, and somebody else that's not on my paper right here. I'll get to that in the next hour. And we are here live at Buffalo Wild Wings. We want to thank them. They're hosting a big draft party here. By the way, parking prices. I'm glad we were able to park here at Buffalo Wild Wings.
It's a thing on Twitter right now.
Holy, $100, $100+ surge pricing.
Taking advantage of all those folks being in town.
Absolutely. But Red Sox lose 4-3, so we move on to the NFL draft and the hope of the number 4 overall pick. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 4 o'clock in Wisconsin. It's 5 o'clock in Boston. Yeah. So, of course, we're going to do the 3-point stance.
Makes sense.
Only make logical sense. And I'm going to tell you that I've been covering the NFL for 20-plus years, but I've sort of had my eyes open this week, and I'll tell you why here at the NFL Draft.
Can't wait to hear.
That's up next here on WEEI.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we started together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Afternoons. WEEI Afternoons. Green Bay, Wisconsin. Draft night. Finally, it's effing here, says Ted Johnson here on WEEI Afternoons.
We're all feeling that, man. It's been a little bit of a rough draft to kind of, find storylines and things to talk about, man. It hasn't been a lot, really, to get people excited. So I'm just glad it's here, man. And
Wore you down like Jerome Bettis through the A-gap.
That's it. I mean, it's the other way around. I wore his ass down, but I get your point.
As we said, the draft will begin 7 o'clock local time, 8 o'clock. The fans are piling in. We are in draft headquarters here for us at Buffalo Wild Wings across the street from Lambeau Field. And it is 4 o'clock locally, 5 o'clock Boston, but it's time for your 3-point stance.
Green 19! Ready! 19! Green 19's ahead!
Yeah, there you go! I said, It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pastrnak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, gentlemen, it is not 3 o'clock either here or there, but it is nonetheless time for our three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. And today's three-point stance is brought to you, as always, by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman, and here's what you do. You call all sevens at 617-777-7777. As it is a time that is almost 3 o'clock, each host will present their take on whatever the biggest story is for them in the world of sports and sometimes beyond. Each host will get 60 seconds or thereabouts to present their opening stance on their story of the day. And after each host is gone, we will open up for discussion on each and every topic. Our order today, we'll mix it up a little bit as it is draft day and anything can happen on the draft board, so anything can happen here. Ted Johnson will lead us off, followed by Andy Hart and then myself, Dan Ball, with the help of my good friend Stiz. So Ted, I ask you, are you ready?
I am ready, Daniel, and I'm going to do a little Johnson flex right here. Turn that damn timer off. I need more than 60 seconds. Turn it off.
No Super Bowl flex is out and about today here, folks.
I'm flexing it. I'm flexing, right. So no timer on this one. But guys, people, everyone out there listening, you know what today is? Today is about one thing and one thing only. It's about hope, Andy. It's about hope, all right? I'm a big fan of just that feeling of hope. You know, so tonight's draft – hope for a better team, hope for a chance to maybe play for championships. That's what tonight is about in the draft. And nobody succinctly puts, encapsulates what the meaning of hope is better than my good friend, Andy Dufresne.
Dear Red, if you're reading this, you've gotten out. And if you've come this far, maybe you're willing to come a little further. You remember the name of the town, don't you?
Green Bay.
I could use a good man to help me get my project on wheels. I'll keep an eye out for you and the chessboard ready. Remember, Red, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. I will be hoping that this letter finds you and finds you well. Your friend, Andy. And no good...
Does that just get... I mean, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things.
Green Bay.
So, in Green Bay. Yes, not say Wantaneo. It's Green Bay. It's where the hope... We'll start and hopefully for the Patriots tonight. But you know, I just want to address how big of a draft this is, particularly for Mike Vrabel, first time head coach for the New England Patriots. And I've already kind of done a 3-point stance in the past about head coaches for the Patriots in their first year being head coaches of the Patriots, how their drafts went, right? And if we did, I reference Bill Parcells, he was the head coach for the Patriots in 1993. In that draft, he got Bledsoe, Chris Slade, Todd Rucci, Vincent Brisby in that draft. Pete Carroll's, and then it led to a really great tenure for Bill Parcells, right? You know, we get to the Super Bowl in his fourth year in 1996. Pete Carroll, how did his draft go when he got here in 1997? First round pick, Chris Canty, bust. We saw how Pete Carroll's tenure ended here. Bill Belichick, talk about setting the tone and the table for his time as head coach here. He gets Tom Brady in the sixth round in that first draft as the head coach of the New England Patriots in 2000. How's it going to go for Mike Vrabel, 2025, new head coach of the New England Patriots? Is he going to have picks, draft picks like Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick did that set the tone for their tenure here or not? It's a huge, huge draft for Vrabel, this coaching staff, and to get this franchise going in the right direction. How they do on this draft will set the tone for his tenure here in New England.
Andy, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
So I agree in a sense. The one wrinkle, and I think I threw this wrinkle at you when you brought this up previously, is you also started the process in a weird way last year with Gerard Mayo's first draft, and you need Gerard Mayo's first draft, even though it didn't catapult him to any successes like a Parcells or like a Bill Belichick. You're going to need Gerard Mayo's first draft with the quarterback Drake May to be successful in conjunction with whatever Vrabel does tonight.
Sure, absolutely.
But absolutely, do I think you need to leave this draft with a handful of players that we're talking about as core. They don't all have to be Pro Bowlers and whatever, but you need to get guys that are a central part of the football team for a number of years, a core that starts to cut like a snowball, right? That'll be the core. Then you roll it forward another year, a whole other layer of snow goes on, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's a big ball of snow right there, and that's what they need to be, a big ball of snow starting tonight.
All right, so we have a big ball of snow that needs to happen for the Patriots. Ted, anything else you wanted to throw in on that? I'm sure we'll continue the theme of hope throughout the show.
And I would just say, Daniel, is it, yes? So Drake May is a key cog in this rebuild, but there's a lot of players that were hugely important parts of the rebuild when Bill Belichick took over in 2000. So he drafted Tom Brady, and there was already some big pieces, particularly on the defensive side, that were already in place that led the foundation for those early championship runs. So your point about Drake May was well taken. How do you accentuate and highlight that pick?
Left tackle.
You crush it in the draft. And, of course, if Andy has his way, Will Campbell will be the left tackle for the Patriots. Oh, in about $4.5 million.
Short-armed, mean-ass left tackle. That's what you do. You put him in front of Drake May. No one ever touches Drake May. And if they think about it, he punches him in the nuts.
Okay.
Hopefully
there
you can reach him if they're not too far away to punch him.
That would be tough. Kind of an alligator arm swing, and then all of a sudden you miss.
Yeah.
But the message would be well taken either way. Okay, so Ted has put hope on the table for the Patriots.
Put hope on the table.
We'll continue the draft talk, obviously, all day leading up to the draft. Tom Curran's going to join the show in about 20 minutes. Andy, do you want to exercise any no clock? I don't know what you bring to the table besides Super Bowl rings.
No, I'm not I'm not flexing today. I'm not a Teddy 3 rings.
Uh-huh.
Although, just to humble Teddy a little bit, the story he told about the Bledsoe jersey, when he patted the guy on the shoulder and said, great jersey, and the guy said, Bledsoe, most underrated ever. I don't think the guy wearing the Bledsoe jersey and the jersey from the Patriots of the 90s realized he was talking.
Oh, no, he did. He was in shock. He didn't know what to say.
That's what I was wondering. Did Ted say, hey, do you know who I am?
I was this close to saying something, but I wanted to just let it play out organically.
You know what? Just for the sake of a good story, I should have said, do you know who I am?
You should have.
God.
Wait, Teddy, did you not travel with the bling for this trip? Did you not travel with the rings?
Can you imagine, Dan?
You should have.
You know what? You know what?
You're at the draft. I think this is one of the few places where it's more than justified.
Yeah. I mean, we're kind of stuck in a corner here at Buffalo Wild Rings. I don't know if I had my Super Bowl ring on.
We'd be out front.
They would have put us out front.
Absolutely.
It's amazing how many people think I should wear my Super Bowl ring in certain occasions where I think it would be a little bit of a.
It's all the people that haven't won a Super Bowl thing.
Maybe
that,
that's what
imagine.
It is.
I guarantee the young PR lackey wouldn't have been trying to kick us off the air if she saw bling
so
on
true.
Your hands.
Yeah,
you
I wouldn't tell you.
She would have been asking, hey, what are you doing after the show?
Right.
You guys want to go get drinks later or something?
Should at least have a few signed 8x10s.
That would have gone differently if we had had rings on this trip, I think. Of course, security would have been a little longer probably, too.
Yeah. Thanks for the idea. Next year when we go to the draft, I'll be wearing my rings then, Dan.
There you go. Hey, it benefits everybody. It gets you in rooms where maybe you didn't, and free curds and beer it would have brought you this time around.
Absolutely. But, great call.
In the meantime, we will give it over to Andy Hart. Andy, are you ready?
I'm absolutely ready, and
you
can have a clock.
Okay, well, your clock and your 60 seconds starts now.
So I've been around the NFL for a while now. Brag. 2 decades, been to a bunch of Super Bowls courtesy of Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, been to a lot of events and parties and different things. And yet this week my eyes were open to the reach and power of the National Football League.
Oh, yeah, you were impressed by this. Yeah.
I really, the amount of people that are everywhere, fan bases, in our hotel, 35 minutes away. I go for my morning jog, and every store in the strip mall, 35 minutes from the stadium, is advertising draft day deals and draft day specials and all these different things. I'm in the hotel lobby and I hear this woman, she's a Dolphins fan, she's talking to a Packers fan about how she's got one bathroom at home that it's all Dolphins decorated from head to toe. And it's just, you tend to forget how powerful the NFL is. They have turned a meaningless event, an event that is really just sort of minutia for the teams to put their rosters together.
Yeah, it's like into 4 months before the NFL season even starts.
This is a nothing burger in the midst of the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, the beginning of the baseball season.
True.
And this is the talk of the sports world. This is where 100,000 people are going to stand in a parking lot outside of a stadium and wait for somebody to say, Cam Ward, Will Campbell, Shador Sanders. Yeah, yeah. Not see them do anything. They'll stand up and they'll hold up a jersey. That's all they're going to do. And yet there are hundreds of thousands of people lining up, paying $100+ to park right down the street. It's just the immensity, the marketing power, the popularity of the NFL is something special. And it reinforces it when you see an event like this. Not a Super Bowl. Not a playoff game.
Yeah. We're talking about the draft.
We're talking about the draft. No one will do anything that actually involves a football or playing football or putting pads on, and yet fans eat it up. And maybe it's what you talked about. Maybe it's the hope of the matter.
There
but
we
the,
go. Finally.
This is this is the longest 60 seconds of my life.
Way to go, Dan.
Put a but, yeah, the but NFL is it's the gorilla in professional sports, and this is the latest reminder of it.
It is.
I'd be so pissed if I worked for, like, a baseball team, and I'm like, wait, we have a real game, and there's, like, 28,000 people here, maybe.
Yeah.
And they're announcing players who are which team they're going to go to, and there's 100,000 people there.
I know.
It's just – it's crazy.
We got to talk. I'm curious. Just real quick, Dan, if I can lead this, you know, would you guys want this event in Boston?
Sure.
See, I think Boston could pull this event off. You're not so sure. You think
the hotel rooms?
I know. I just think you can drive in from Boston and Providence. Yeah.
Maybe.
But bring Green Bay. You guys is set up. Lambeau Field is set up similarly to Patriot Place.
Yep.
I think it's on steroids. I'd say it's even. You got a conference center here and everything. But I just think
a sledding hill.
To me, this is an event that can be pulled off in.
So
in
are
Foxborough.
You advocating for it? Why don't you talk to your guy Robert?
That.
Get Robert and Jonathan on board, put together a presentation, and bring a couple 100,000 football fans to Foxborough, New England.
We're never going to be able to host a Super Bowl. So,
this would be the next best thing.
This would be the next best thing.
Love it.
I know today's a getaway day in Major League Baseball, so maybe this is a coincidence, but there are no first pitches scheduled between 6:45 and 9:30 tonight. So, I don't know if they cleared the schedule for it, but to your point, Andy, about legitimately other leagues are cognizant of this thing, that wouldn't mean anything any other time. Ted, I wanted to ask you a question about Andy's topic, if you don't mind, before we continue.
By all means.
So you have a couple very interesting perspectives on the NFL. So how would you describe the growth of the NFL and the product that Andy's talking about with the reach that it has right now from when you got into the league to where you sit here in a Buffalo Wild Wings parking lot?
Dan, it's amazing. it's a whole different league business. It's incredible. I mean, think about it. Like when I got drafted, 5 minutes after I got drafted, I had WEEI calling me.
Nice.
And doing interviews. Like, and if you wanted as a player, you wanted to get, people to know you, you would actually talk to writers for the papers.
Yep.
And, and then the radio station, EEI, that was how you got people. Now with social media is out there. And I think what the biggest part of what's grown the NFL is probably not only social media and the interconnectedness between all his fans, but also, also the bringing the fringe fan in for like fantasy football.
Yep.
Like there's so many, football's gotten so much bigger now because the fringe fan is now more engaged. Fans now aren't just fans of teams; they're fans of players on other teams because of fantasy football. I think that was a huge part, and then. Obviously, TV and all the different platforms there are to watch games has changed. So the money, you guys, when I got into the league, I let me put it to you this way, Dan. This is going to probably put it maybe in the best way possible. The salary cap when I left or retired from the Patriots in 2005 was $80 million per team. It is now up to $250 million. The growth has been incredible since I retired almost 20 years ago. And I think just the salary cap for each team going from $80 million to $270 million it is now kind of highlights the growth of the game, Dan.
And also just to highlight the thing you said about sort of the fringe fan is we were talking about this. Tonight's event does that with the ABC broadcast where they focus on features and backgrounds of players, not so much what did the guy do in his school in terms of, oh, he had 72 catches for 1,000 yards, because they're trying to appeal to women, grandmothers, non-football fans, like, just sort of human interest type
stories.
It's
like when you turn on the Olympics, you always the athletes, you hear like a whole backstory.
Right.
And so we know way more about these athletes, these players now than we ever did before when I was playing.
Absolutely.
And that's probably a good thing.
Well put across the board, boys. And the fantasy thing that you bring up, too, is it's just such the perfect combination of all things for fans, where other leagues have fantasy, but it's every single day. It kind of becomes a grind, where in the gambling and fantasy world in football, it's a once-a-week thing. You can do it, and then you don't have to think about it for a couple days. And so it really is wild to see what it's growing to and to see the kind of popularity that these international games get. But I know we have a lot more to get to on the show today. My three-point stance was going to be Bruins-related because they had a bit of an explosive postseason press conference. But I know we have we'll do plenty more on that coming up in the next week. But Andy Hart, that is going to conclude our three-point stance for today, because we got a pretty good guest coming up to continue the conversation about the draft.
Love it.
We do. We will talk to Tom Curran, as we do every week, a little bit at different time. And I want to remind you, our draft coverage, including Tom Curran, brought to you by McFarland Energy. Upgrade your air conditioning system before the summer rush. Visit McFarlandEnergy.com. By Northeast Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Get your sex life back on track. NortheastMen'sHealth.com. By Lucky Energy, the number one energy drink in Massachusetts amongst energy drinkers who like to get lucky. A lot of teams want to get lucky tonight in the NFL draft. And by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee and McCormick Grillmates Seasoning. Up next, as I said, here on WEEI Afternoons, live from Lambeau Field, or Buffalo Wild Wings just across the street from Lambeau Field, and the 2025 NFL draft, we will hear from Tom E. Curran for all the latest buzz, rumors, notes, nuggets, his latest thoughts on Elliot Wolf, which I'm guessing won't be kind. That's all next here on WEEI Afternoons. WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Ted Johnson, Mr. Three Rings himself, against a Packers team that cost you the fourth ring, huh?
Son of a gun, those guys. Yeah, yeah, a guy.
You were
guy
angry at lunch.
I was. I saw a Super Bowl 31 hat on, and I was like, you son of a... We just checked out of that blitz on that second play. Oh.
Let's go to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Matt in Rhode Island has a thought on the Patriots draft tonight. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, just quick. I was listening yesterday. They cost you your fourth ring, and they wouldn't even let you into the buffet, Ted. I mean,
I know. Oh, man. Such a good point.
Right?
It's true they did.
Yeah, so obviously we know what they're going to do it for, but I was just reading on Yahoo, a guy at 50 brought up the other day, Jaden Wiggins from Iowa State, and it looks like they have interest in trading back into the first round, which I really hope they do. That would make for an exciting night. But, yeah, have a good time, guys. It sounds like a blast.
All right. We're having fun, for the call, Matt.
Well, you know what? We can ask our guest about what he thinks about maybe that scenario playing out.
Sure. Joining us now on WEEI Afternoons, NBC Sports Boston's Tom E. Curran, is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining, at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Tom Curran, are we excited about the events that are going to happen in just a couple hours?
Yeah, very excited. I think it's a fun night to be a Patriots fan. I know that it might just be a big fatty on the end of the line, but I think it'll be a very useful pick. And I also think that this draft in general, you're not talking about safeties and defensive tackles, the linebackers. You're talking about ball handling types. You know, when the Patriots didn't get a lot of offensive firepower and free agency, I think the die was cast for this draft to be about playmakers. So hopefully it will come to pass that that's what it's all about.
Tom, it's I mean, I just want to get this question out. I'm curious. So you're going to be, I'm guessing, probably in studio. How do you watch the draft? How do you like to watch the draft? Are you on Twitter? I mean, how do you consume the NFL draft usually?
We're going to be – see, it's hard now because as I'm listening to you guys talking about the evolution of the draft and just how big it's grown, we're going 5 hours live tonight, 7 to midnight.
Okay.
So the pick is at 8:40. We're not going to talk about Will Campbell for the next 3.5 hours. We're going to end up talking about things that and people will watch. They're going to want to see the press conferences. They're going to want to see what people have to say. They're going to want to see what, you know, Brian Hoyer, and if you were here, what you had to say about the decisions that were made and and how they fit in the Mike Vrabel scheme. So we're going to be there in studio, you know, digesting it as you go. Breer and Phil are both in studio as well, and they'll be,
okay.
You know, they're both very plugged in the draft. So we're going to have plenty of artillery. But it's fun to do it that way because you get real-time reactions from people who've been very invested for months.
Tom, I don't know if you heard the call we just took. Matt in Rhode Island was suggesting something that I know I think a lot of Patriots fans are hoping for. They've settled on maybe they just stick and pick Will Campbell at four, but could they trade back into the back end of the first round, maybe get a wide receiver or whatever else they may need? Do you think that's a possibility?
I don't think that's a possibility. I could see them moving down a smidge in the top 10. I mean, would you like to see them trade back in the first round to 23 or –
Nope.
21 so that the Steelers could... No way.
Yeah, two first-round picks are fun.
Say that again.
Two first-round picks are fun. Remember Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower? That was fun.
Well, how would you conjure two first-round picks if they trade back?
No. Stay at four and then utilize, you know, your second-round pick,
well,
something else.
Wonderful.
He means trade up into the first.
Move up to 20, whatever.
That's fine with that.
Okay.
I'm 1,000,000% fine with if they can find a way to get back up for a player that they have targeted as being exceptional. You know, if they look at somebody at, you know, say, for instance, just for the hell of it, say Tyler Warren and the Michigan guy.
Go, buddy, go.
They both
preach.
Start plummeting down the line, the board. Well, why not? You get, if you end up walking out with Tyler Warren or Loveland and, you know, Will Campbell, that's a pretty good first round. So if you have to give up your second rounder to do it, next year's second, what the hell? Have a day.
Hell yeah. Look, I'm going to – you and I, Tom, are going to – the Tyler Warren, you and I are both I've been riding your coattails with Tyler Warren ever since you put that name out there, and so it's going to be fun to track his career and see how he does. But I'm curious just about – I've been talking about kind of, you know, Patriots head coaches, their first year – Bill Parcells' first year, 1993, gets Bledsoe and Slade and Rucci and Vincent Brisby, Pete Carroll, Chris Canty, and you saw how his tenure went, and then Belichick gets Brady, you know, in his first draft. Do you feel like just this draft will set the tone for Mike Vrabel's tenure here, much like the previous Patriots head coaches has?
Indisputably, yes. It has to set the tone. I think through free agency, he tried to set the tone for the type of players that he wants here, but that's just spackle. You got to get wallboard. You got to get your drywall right now for your foundation and your core. So to me, the draft is about finding those players that you alluded to. Again, the 95 draft that you were a part of, Ted, critical to the success of that team. The 94 draft, they got Willie McGinnis. The 96 draft. All of those drafts were absolutely critical to the success of the team in the late 90s when your guys still went to the playoffs, two out of three seasons under Pete. And then the early tenure of Bill all the way through to about 2006, still were making hay. But Bill also did a great job in 2000 and 2001, along with Scott Pioli, of bringing in the free agent spackle, which ended up being guys like Vrabel. So they've tried to do the spackle, but now you got to get the wallboard up. And they failed to do that last year because they tried to keep one foot in the past by re-signing a lot of players who were part of a dysfunctional team. And now they're moving on from some of them. And also by spanning when they had opportunities to do well in the second round because they just got too cute, second and third and fourth round. So they have to be sure that you have contributors, not projecting.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us on WEEI Afternoons. And, Tom, one of the pieces of footage or video that we'll get sometime tomorrow is War Room, right? We'll see how the Will Campbell pick happened, Robert talking. And I think this year there's maybe some interest in that video because I heard you on, I think it was Quick Slants, I heard a piece of audio of you telling Elliot Wolf to basically manage to stay out of the way in the War Room. So I'm wondering,
just like, answer the phone when it rings.
Right. Like, what? There's a lot of guys involved in this process that we sort of know who they are. Matt Groh, Elliot Wolf, Ryan Cowden, obviously Mike Vrabel. Are you interested to see how this pick comes about? Do you even have a strong feeling? Is Elliot Wolf staying the hell out of it? We'll just use your system and stay the hell out of it. Let Vrabel make the pick.
Well, Yeah, what I said on Quick Stance was you want your general manager to generally manage to stay out of the way, because between his time in Cleveland and his time here as a titled person in the personnel department has been horrible. So I am interested to see it, but I will also note that at least somebody who is as attuned to it as Bill Belichick. You remember in 2021 when they picked Mac Jones?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
My friend Pete Kendall often mentions this to me. He went all the way around the room.
Yep.
All the way around the room and pointed at every guy. Goes, you good with this? You good with this? Are you good with this? We all good with this? People didn't even expect to be called on. Like, yeah. What do you care what I think? So Bill wanted that to be a shared selection. It was almost as if he was sending it out beforehand. I'm fine with this, but it's not me alone. So with that in mind, I don't want to infer too much about Elliott's role or non-role, but what will interest me is Ryan Cowden's role.
Yep.
He's actually going to speak to us on Saturday after the first few picks are made in the draft. So it's going to be Vrabel tonight, Wolf tomorrow after rounds 2 and 3, and then Ryan Cowden on Saturday, and then Wolf is going to do an end-of-draft address. But I find that interesting because they're putting him on somewhat level ground.
Is that the first time he'll be publicly speaking to the media, Ryan Cowden?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes,
interesting.
The first time we hear from him.
Okay, that is interesting. Tom, I could talk to you all day, but you're gonna. We don't have all that time. But I'm just.
That's
hey,
okay.
It's a foregone conclusion. You know, it feels that way that Will Campbell is going to be the pick. How are you going to feel about it? At the end of the day, we've gone through, okay, it's not our Tyler Warren, but it's Will Campbell. How did the Patriots do it at number 4 most likely to happen, they get Will Campbell? Your thoughts on Will Campbell?
I feel good about it. You know, I think that from the time Ronnie Stanley decided to re-sign with the Ravens, it was a fait accompli that the Patriots were going to take a left tackle in the first round of the draft. And that's when we all start, turning our attention to an extent as pro football writers and guys who cover pro football to say, okay, they got the 4th overall pick. They didn't get Ronnie Stanley in the draft. Who can you get? And over the course of time, we've come to examine Will Campbell to the point where we have great misgivings about a scintilla of cuticle that he doesn't own to make his arms 33 and whatever length. I counter that his athletic ability, toughness, mobility are going to counter that half an inch time and time and time again. So to me, I think that Will Campbell will be a good pick. I don't think he's a guard. I think he's a tackle. I think that Vrabel has made that very clear, so I more base my opinion on his opinion. So they're going to take the best tackle in their mind, and they're going to take Will Campbell. And, I'll feel good about it in that as someone covering the team, I won't have to continue to write stories about the idiocy that goes on in trying to fix a spot with hope and popsicle sticks.
Tom, there's been sort of late, not I guess late reporting, but just how much Vrabel fell in love with Campbell, and not just the football, the measurables, but the style, the attitude, the work ethic. There were reports of how much he nailed visits. There was a report that they had a late visit this week down to his home somewhere in Louisiana.
Oh.
Does that fall in line with this culture, you think? Is this a pick that's as much about building the culture of the offense and the offensive line and being the leader as it is that he also just happens to fill a left tackle hole?
Yeah, I think that dovetails nicely. You know, we talked about, and Vrabel actually talked about, best player available meshing with a position of need. That's the ideal. And this is, even though some people will have misgivings that he's the best player available, you can really throw a blanket over those guys. Is it Warren? Is it, Ashton Jeanty? Is it Campbell? Is it Jalen Walker? Is it Shamir Stewart? I mean, whoever you want to toss out there, you can throw a blanket over them. So the Patriots are taking someone who fits their culture, who plays that position, projected at a high level, and is going to be someone that is durable and brings the right attitude. And I think that you're right. This offseason has been very explicitly about attitude and removing entitlement. So Yeah, I think you're exactly right. It's, when you listen to the kids' press conferences, sometimes I don't like listening to 21 and 22-year-olds who Amen, have, like, brother. An edge to them. Because I'm like, you know what? You don't really know till you know. But yeah. I'm sure that it's embraceable. Not that I know. I didn't play in the freaking league. But
yeah.
I think it's interesting to just listen to the way he speaks because he's very matter-of-fact.
Yeah. And there's a humility in that matter-of-factness. Tom, my last question for me. I'm just, you know, Tom's been covering the team since 1997. That's 28 years.
Exactly.
So that's a long time. I'm just
He's old.
That's right.
He's old.
That's right. That's exactly, yeah, the Chris Candy. Do you have any favorite draft memories? It doesn't have to be about the Patriots. It can be about, you know, just any draft, anything that stood out that you remember in past drafts that were memorable for you that you think of fondly?
You know, it's funny. In 2008, I was working for NBCSports.com. They had finally launched a website to cover the NFL because they had the NFL. So it was 2 years after they started that. And I covered the draft in New York and sat down with all of the top five picks as they came off at, you know, Radio City Music Hall. So that was cool.
That's cool
experience talking to, you know, Chris Long and guys like that. But also, you know, Bill was so approachable for a long period of time. And I remember talking to him in 2000, I think it was six. And he was leaving the podium and I said, you guys could still take Maurice Jones-Drew, you know. just on the side. It's like, yeah, it's like, you should take him. He's good. I would take Maurice Jones-Drew. They had already taken Maroney. They had already taken Maroney, but it's always been fun. It's a fun night, so yeah. I hope everyone enjoys it.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's a night of hope, Ted Johnson
it
says,
is.
For everybody. Night of hope. Hope you had fun talking with us, Tom Curran. And I look forward to next week when we get to ask you to grade the draft. Before they do anything, we ask you to grade
Let
the draft.
Get
so
that,
have that ready for next week, okay?
Thanks, Tom.
100%. Thank you,
All
guys.
Right, thanks, Tom.
See you,
bud. See ya. 617-779-7937. If you want to react to anything that Tom Curran said, it is draft night. He, like all the rest of us, have sort of accepted that it's Will Campbell.
Yep.
Even Ted Johnson may not love it, but he's accepted it could
yep.
be Will Campbell. Up next, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the comments from Tom E. Curran, including his views, Teddy. You and I talked about this on the ride over. His views of Elliot Wolf. They seem very interesting to me, so we'll touch on that next here on WEEI Afternoons. That was the voice of Tom E. Curran just moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons on draft night, talking about the role that Elliot Wolf, Executive Vice President of Player Personnel, will play in tonight's process with the number four pick, but also throughout the weekend, the later round picks. Mike Vrabel's talked a lot about the process with him and assistant coaches. And Tom told us, I didn't know Ryan Cowden is talking on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's a guy
yeah.
brought here with Vrabel.
I don't think we've ever heard him speak.
We haven't, so that'll be an interesting layer. And then another layer I'd add to it is Robert Kraft has basically told us, and we heard this last year, that Elliot Wolf reconfigured the Patriots scouting system, the terminology, the grading system, and that they're using that. So it's interesting that you're using his system to let Vrabel make the decisions, and you kind of want him to stay out of it. And then the last piece of information is Tom E. Curran has been very harsh with Elliot Wolf on many different platforms I've heard, TV, radio, podcasts.
Why'd you say critical?
Yeah, very, very critical.
Yeah.
So I wonder if, does he think Elliot Wolf's not here for the long term? Is it a possibility that Wolf is just a tool for Mike Vrabel? We see that a lot in the NFL, Ted, where new guys come in, they utilize the old GM just through the draft because he had already done sort of the legwork for a year, and then the draft ends, and then that guy's kicked out to the curb, and full control goes to the new regime. I'm going to be interested in that video that we were talking about, and Curran's right. The old Belichick one saying, do you like it? Do you like this? And guys were looking up like, wait, are you talking to me? You've never talked to me in here in 5 years. Why are you asking me now if I care?
I can't wait to see the video, too. It's going to be, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be Vrabel in front of all his people that he's brought in the front office. And everybody okay with this? And in the back, you're going to just see a guy jumping up. And it's going to be Elliot Wolf. Yeah, I'm good with that, Mike. The fourth pick. Yeah, Will Campbell, I'm okay with that.
How's he going to talk in the draft room when his only job is to go get coffee for everybody?
Hey, Elliot, are you good with this fourth overall pick? Pat him on the head. Can I get – you didn't put cream in that. Can you put some cream in that coffee?
It's like when you let your little brother play video games with you, but his controller's not really plugged in.
Great call. So true, Stiz. So true. But this is an interesting, you know, test. And can you kind of have this prearranged marriage between Elliot Wolf, who's theoretically kind of in charge of draft and free agency, with a new head coach? You know, we'll see how it goes. I think it's predominantly going to be Mike's influence and what he sees. I mean, I don't know. The grading system, if I'm Mike, my guess is he's looking at these prospects. He's talking to – it's not just he's leaving it up to Elliot Wolf to do all that behind-the-scenes legwork and then report to Mike. My guess is Mike is doing a lot of the legwork himself, or the people he trusts is doing a lot of it, that being this guy Stretch. So Elliot Wolf is, like I've said in the past – it reminds me of the show, The Agency, where the CIA is just always trying to get their people in the room. And that's kind of what RKK is doing. I think he just has his guy in the room, that being Elliot Wolf, to report back to him, all right, Robert, this is what they're doing, okay? You know, and he doesn't really have really a lot of power. It's just not – my guess is Mike has all the power, Andy.
Yeah, I feel a little disrespectful kind of beating up on Elliot Wolf when we're like – a quarter mile from Ron Wolf Way, his dad's road right here at Lambeau, as such an architect of the Packers.
But let's be honest. He had a moment last year with a head coach who didn't know which end was up. He had all the power. Elliot Wolf had all the power, and it was his time to shine now that Bill Belichick had left. And how did he do in the draft last year?
Crashed and burned.
Oh.
And you're right. I'm glad you brought that up, because he did. You know that Eminem, you got that one moment, that one opportunity, don't vomit on yourself.
That's it.
He kind of, if you look at everything not named Drake May, kind of threw up on himself. Couple offensive linemen, not really. Couple wide receivers, we're already talking about they may not be on the team, some of them, because there's going to be such a tight battle for wide receivers.
Yeah.
They really didn't do anything after that pick of Drake May.
And this is the draft where it's, okay, doesn't it feel kind of like last year where it was a foregone conclusion? We knew who they predetermined who they were going to pick at 3, Drake May, Will Campbell at 4. Okay, all the value, all the talent as far as from a value standpoint, they say in this year's draft, is rounds 2 through 4. Okay, Elliot Wolf, Mike Vrabel, let's see how you do in rounds 2 through 4.
Right.
How do you – we saw how they did last year in those rounds. How do you do this year when there's supposed to be a richer crop of talented players those rounds this year compared to last year?
617-779-7937 if you want to call or text. We see you lining up on the phone lines. We'll let you join the conversation. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we got to finally talk about it. Is Will Campbell the pick? Do you want Will Campbell? Do you love Will Campbell? Is he going to be a guard? Is he going to be a tackle? Is he an all-pro? Whatever you think. And we'll hear some of the audio from yesterday. Will Campbell talking here. We played one short cut yesterday. There was an even better cut when he talks about protecting his quarterback. I loved it. It's part of the reason I love Will Campbell. We'll hear that next here on WEEI Afternoons.